Hey friends, it's Lori with the Catch a Pocket Podcast, and I'm back. So my first guest this go-round is going to be Miss Rhea Sewell. She's a badass chick drummer, 2 decades under her belt, many more to come, hopefully. And she's a singer-songwriter, writes some beautiful songs. I got to jam with her one time, and it was awesome. So sit back, relax, listen to Rhea's story. And as always, if you're interested in being a guest on the Catch a Pocket Podcast, please email me at catchapocket@gmail.com. I'm looking forward to hearing from you, and I'm looking forward to sharing some great people, artists, inspirational people of Wichita and the surrounding areas. Stick around until the end, and I'll have a bonus song from Rhea, one of her singer-songwriter songs, and it's great. Thanks for joining us, and here's Rhea. Okay, we're back with the Catch Pocket Podcast, and my first guest for this newest venture is Rhea Sewell, and Rhea's a good friend of mine, and a great drummer, and if you haven't had a chance to see her band, False Flag Fuckers?
ICT.
ICT, because there's other false flags, right?
Yeah.
So you guys distinguish yourself by saying False Flag ICT?
Yes.
But you always say False Flag Fuckers?
I want to change our name to that, but we just haven't yet.
Okay. Well, this is an adult show, so you can say all the words.
We put FFF a lot.
FFF. But, and that's False Flag Fuckers. But it's False Flag ICT. And you can check them out a lot of times at Kirby's. They'll play. You guys play other places or just mainly Kirby's?
We have played other places. Yeah.
Like where?
Barleycorn's River Festival.
Oh, yeah. River Festival. Yeah. I remember that.
Shamrock.
Yeah. That's kind of like sister bars of
String Break.
Gotta love the String Break. Which they're on again, off again right now. Not sure if they're going to do it. It's a lot of work.
I think it's.
It's a done deal. Yeah, that's too bad because it's always a fun night of camping and music and good times, good friends. Remembrance of Kirk Runstrom, who is the singer of the, or the writer of the song that starts this show. So that's kind of a cool tie-in. Okay, so on Catch a Pocket, I like to ask people about themselves. So where were you born?
Salina, Kansas.
Mm-hmm. And did you live there all of your childhood, or did you just, were you born there and then moved away, or?
I went to junior high and high school in Lindsberg.
Okay.
Kansas.
Junior high school. So all your elementary, Salina, yeah. And then you guys moved to Lindsberg or just outside of there?
We had a restaurant in Fallen, Kansas.
Fallen.
Called Aunt Esther's Cafe.
Oh, cool.
So we bussed into Lindsberg till my junior year.
Okay. And how far is Fallen from Lindsberg?
I want to say 11 miles. I'm not really sure.
11 miles. So you guys took a nice long bus ride every morning.
Yeah.
And that was junior high school. And then from there, and your parents were married your whole life and everything?
My real mom passed away on a motorcycle when I was 6. And my dad remarried a year later. And then she adopted me and my little brother. And then we made it almost a Brady Bunch blended family.
Okay, so your brother's Michael, who I know. And who are your step siblings? What are their names?
We can't say step.
Oh, who are your siblings?
We never did.
Because you were adopted, so.
My brother and sister, Linda and Danny, live in Salina. And my sister, Jean, died when she was 45.
Okay. Just unexpectedly, or was she ill or something?
Unexpectedly.
Oh, that's too bad. So, okay. So you went to junior high and they owned the restaurant when you were a middle school age or teenager. And then you went where? What happened then?
Well, we moved into Lindsberg proper my junior year and gave up the restaurant. Uh-huh. It was a lot of work.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, okay. So, and then you went to high school and graduated from Lindsberg High School?
The whole time.
Yeah.
And what the best thing about it, I did prepare this a little bit. Uh-huh. About 7 hours a day, I was in the music room.
Really?
Well, like half my high school time. I was in Madrigal's sophomore choir. Okay. I took solos to state. I had a trio singing, but I never played any instruments till I was about 20 years old when I got a drum set.
Okay. And you have been, like, how long did you have your tremor? Like, when did you start noticing your tremor? When you were young or older?
I have essential tremor. Mm-hmm. I was diagnosed from Dr. Menninger in Topeka in 78. So that was probably third grade.
Okay.
But I probably always had it. And they didn't really know what it was. Mm-hmm. It was pretty rare back then to be diagnosed. Nowadays, there's 10 million people probably with it. Okay. Worldwide.
And they don't know what that came from. It's just something that you had. And then from third grade or 3 years old?
Probably my whole life. I was diagnosed in third grade.
Okay. So you've dealt with that and you would sing and everything would be fine. But is that what made you want to play the drums? Like, is what made you want to try the drums rather than like a guitar or a harmonica or something?
I always wanted to play drums. I think there's even stuff in my grade school yearbooks or whatever saying, Rhea, I hope you get to play drums. I asked for drums in sixth grade, I think.
Uh-huh.
My dad said, girls don't play the drums.
Aw, dad. What the heck?
I'm glad he did that, because what if I would have been a spoiled kid and been over it in a year? Because now I'm in my 50s, and I'm not over it.
No. And you're great at it, too. So from 20 is when you started playing an instrument, but you were singing up mm-hmm. before that. And your whole high school, you had most of your classes all music classes.
Yep. My senior year, three of us girls asked for music theory.
Oh, okay.
Like college level, and we got it in Lindsberg. Lindsberg was more like a private school upbringing.
Just because it's so small and being able to focus.
And the community so creative.
Right. Yeah, that's cool. I love that community. It's so cool. If you've never been there, you need to go just check it out. It's Swedish, is it? It's like a Swedish town that was started by Swedes.
Yeah.
And they're the little horses. What are those horses called?
Dala horses.
Oh, they're so cute. And they're just all over the place. And the town is decorated. And it's got all the different restaurants that are Swedish proper food. Like the, what is that? Lutfisk?
I think there's that there.
Yeah. I think somebody I know tried that. And I was just like, what is it? It looked terrible. But it's an acquired taste is what I hear. So cool. So then you graduated high school and then what?
I moved to Wichita with an opera scholarship.
Going to WSU?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
But then I really didn't use it. I got into rock and roll bands.
So you didn't get into opera?
I took like a couple semesters.
Mm-hmm. And it just wasn't for you? Or you didn't feel like it was fulfilling enough?
I probably should have stuck with
it. You just got into rock and roll and the whole rock and roll scene. And did you start going to Kirby's then? Is that when you started going there? Or did you not know about Kirby's at that point?
I did. I would go sit on the stairs and watch, like, or listen to Technicolor Head Rush. Okay. And, 'cause I really wanted to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Kirby's was, I still do, just awesome. But I didn't start going there till I was in an all-girl band, 95, I think we started.
What was the name of it?
Half Mad Poet.
Half Mad Poet. And who was all in that?
Me, playing drums, Anita Chase, playing guitar, and Sheila Reddy,
okay,
playing bass.
And so a three-part trio of, was it punk rock or was it?
It was more rock and roll. Uh-huh. A lot of originals.
Cool. That's awesome. So you probably learned a lot from just playing live to people and pulling your drum, putting it together, and then all that stuff.
A lot of gigs we played back then. We were the only band. So 3-hour gig, 3 45-minute sets.
Wow. So that's a long what day, we yeah. Did. So you yeah. were tired when you were done. Yeah. Tired and drunk, maybe a little.
No, I really didn't partake back then.
Really? Okay. I'm like, well, some people won't drink until, like, they won't drink until they're done with their set or whatever. But usually 3 sets, they're drunk by the 3rd one. Usually. Not everybody. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. But, okay, so that was in the 95 era.
That's when I started to become a Kirby's regular.
Okay.
But me and the girls did a couple of tours. We went up to Wisconsin for like 10 days.
Yeah.
Part of that, or right after that, we opened up for Joan Jett in Wisconsin.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome. Was she cool? Did you get to meet her and all that?
We had a good time.
Yeah, that's cool. So I don't want to pass up your youth or anything if you want to tell any stories about your family or anything like that. So totally feel free to interject into there.
I think part of the music thing, like when we were little kids, riding around listening to AM radio. My dad was nuts about music. Mm-hmm. So he'd quiz us saying, who's singing it? What year is it? What's the song about? So I got real clued in about music, especially music trivia. I'm still just nuts about it.
Yeah, if you know the years and things, you're probably really good. I want you on my team, you know? We need to have a trivia night one of these times. That would be fun. Because we all know so much. We should go tear up a trivia with the doom and gloomers, because that's how I know you is.
Yeah.
I became a doom and gloomer after COVID. So, you didn't do the opera, you started the band, and the girl band trio. And then from there, you toured, and the tours, after that, you broke up or something? Or?
Well, we played Lilith Fair in Kansas City.
Whoa, that's cool.
And then the girls moved to Chicago. But I was still getting my degree from WSU.
Mm-hmm.
It took a long time.
What'd you get it in?
Sociology, women's studies, and English.
Ooh, that's a nice one. Now, those are all nice subjects, you know, that I
just went long enough till they told me, okay,
you're done.
Yeah.
You can leave now. You know, all the things we can teach you. No, they would never. They would just didn't want your money anymore or something? Your money wasn't good
I
anymore?
Had enough credits.
Okay. You got a
Took
degree.
17 years to get my BA. I'm proud of that.
Hey.
But I about got straight A's.
That's and called no fortitude.
No student loan debt.
Oh, so you did like 1 or 2 classes every time and then just paid it.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Did you work the whole time as well?
Yes, and in a band.
Wow. So you were busy. Busy.
Yes.
Yeah. So when you were done with your degree, what What was your mindset then, you know? Were you like, I'm going to fill this with band music? Or was it like scared kind of because you're used to that rigor? Or what do you think?
I've always been in a band. Jarrett, my guitar player now in False Flag, we've been playing together since, I want to say, 2000.
Okay.
We've had 7/8 Quick, and then Janet, and now False Flag has been together, I think, 13 years.
Wow, that's a great run. So, the lead guitar
and
player?
And he writes most of our... He really? Writes the hooks, for sure. But
oh,
he
I didn't
writes
even know
a
that.
Lot.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, he's just a very creative dude. Nice guy, too. Real nice.
I told my band guys I was going to come here and brag about him. I am the luckiest person in the world to get to play with Tracy Saylor, Jarrett Schischler, and Pete Steadman.
Okay. And who's the bass player? Is it Pete? Okay, Pete. And then, so Tracy's playing rhythm guitar.
He does a lot of lead stuff, too. When he first joined False Flag, you know, he used to play with Dave Lawrence and Drunken Monkey bass.
Right, right.
And bass for Istanbulis. And he hurt his shoulder, so he couldn't play bass. And Jarrett and I were like, well, we want you to play with us.
Mm-hmm.
And on guitar. And Trace said, well, I don't really know how to play guitar. Who cares? You picked the people you want to jam with and then figure out the rest.
Yeah, because
we're kind of lucky that we don't have a bunch of drama. Yeah. I know younger bands have drama. Right. We just really don't.
You're like old friends that really get along.
Yeah.
And enjoy each other all the time.
And plus, we're a hoppy band, if you want to call it that. We've got about 6 records.
Yeah.
We practice every Friday.
So what songs did you bring me? Like, will you introduce your first song you want me to play and then...
Yeah, a False Flag song?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was first called Hey.
Mm-hmm.
That's not that creative. Then we renamed it The Crimes of 1984.
Okay.
Kind of about that book.
Okay.
So we can play that
one. The Orwell book. Okay, and that's the next one coming up.
We'll be right back.
Jarrett, right? So, and he was in your band 7/8 Quick with how many other guys?
Darren Holland and me and Jarrett were the first three.
Mm-hmm.
Then we got Joe Rio to sing lead with us.
Oh, yeah, Joe Rio, yeah.
On one record.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he's just a, you know, R.I.P. Joe. He was such a presence, that guy. So, and then from there, you were with Jarrett again, and you were in...
Janet. With Darren Holland and John Hicks.
John Hicks was the person that joined in there, huh?
Yeah.
And you still see all these guys, except, I mean, besides for Joe and... of course, but these guys are all your good buddies still. You get along with everybody. You get along with everybody so well. So I'm going to kind of stop with your music and start with your tremor a little bit more. So you had that tremor from when you were born, probably, you said, all the way up. And it was fairly bad. I mean, you shook enough to not be able to apply eyeliner on your eye and things like that.
That ship sailed in my 20s. Yeah. And post-menopause, post-50, it got really bad.
Okay.
Like I could barely type or write my name or cook my dinner.
Okay.
So that's why I elected to have deep brain stimulation surgery.
Which is
this
scary.
This last June.
Yeah.
I've got a battery implant and it's calmed my tremor like 80%.
It really has. And I'm a firsthand witness to watch that happen. The first time I saw you come to doom and gloom from being recovering it and having the implant turned on, I was like, super amazed because it cut it down so much. It was just a noticeable amount, just everything, which also, so leading up to that surgery, which just happened this last
June. So I haven't played a gig since June.
Because you're still getting your timing back because it's
and
different.
I've been really wanting to play.
Yeah, I'm excited. I want to be there when you do. And it's coming, I can tell, because we kind of played guitars the other day a few weeks ago, and you sounded great. Your songs are awesome, and you need to just let her go. Let her fly, as they say. So getting that surgery, though, there was quite a recovery time. It was less than I imagined it was going to be, but it was still, you had to shave your head. You had to stay at a hotel for a few days. I'm not sure.
That was elective, yeah.
Yeah, but to have your family right there with you. Because nobody knew once you mess with the brain, you just don't know what kind of...
Some people have strokes and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So. Anytime you... Especially the brain, but any surgery is scary in a way. So I feel like the brain surgery is like... When you say brain surgery, it's like the scariest one. And I know
it is Halloween.
It is. Ooh, it is Halloween.
Young Frankenstein.
And we're doing brain surgery. And... anyway, so you get it, and they put in the electrodes into your brain, right, in your tissue. And then what? I mean, and then you have to...
Well, during the surgery, I could hear my brain. What? So they're putting the wires down and trying to find my tremor. Uh-huh. And my brain is turned up to 11, and it's like, they can find it.
What?
So that's where they stick the things.
And you're awake.
You had to be awake.
Because they keep you awake during brain surgery. Because you can't feel pain in your brain, right?
You have to be awake because they want to do the testing.
So they can see if you'll stop shaking or start.
That's right. And guess what? I did.
You stopped shaking.
Yeah.
So they knew that they were in the right spot.
Sweet spot. And mm-hmm. they did both hemispheres in one day. So mm-hmm. I was in surgery like, what, 10 hours?
A long time.
Something.
Seemed like all day.
But I got to tell one sweet story.
Okay.
The anesthesiologist had heard of our band. And during recovery, still in the surgical room, he put my false flag ICT on in the surgery room.
Whoa, in the theater, they call it. Yeah, that's really cool.
That was pretty fun.
So you're like getting brain surgery and hearing your own band.
I guess so.
Or recovering and hearing your own band.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. I hadn't heard that story. That's a good story. So after they put these implants in, they're wired somewhere, and then they wire your shoulder like where they would put a PICC line in a way?
A pacemaker.
So where they put a pacemaker, okay.
I got it on the other side of the heart in case I need a pacemaker someday.
Okay.
But then the wires go up to the brain, and it's a pulse that cancels out the pulse to have the tremor.
Okay. And so right now, you have it turned on. It's not on the highest setting, you said, and you kind of inch it up. Like you started out low, and then you went up like 5 every single week or something like that, you said?
Inching it up. I still have room.
Yeah.
But I'm leaving it as low as I can when I can cook French toast. I did that the other morning, and it
That's
was
lovely.
Just beautiful.
Yeah.
I didn't make a mess.
Yeah. I mean, no more mess than I would make doing French toast because I'm kind of a messy cooker. So, but yeah, that's so cool. So you made French toast. You're cooking. Starting to cook.
Yes, I'm
Things
cooking.
That you didn't do. You're yeah. cooking.
Painting my toenails.
What? Your own toenails?
Oh, yeah.
That was, you guys, if you had met Rhea, or if you have, you know how her tremor was before, and to paint her toenails would have been ridiculous, wouldn't it?
I think it's great. Okay, let's talk about all the things I couldn't do. That list is huge. But I could play drums.
Yes, you could totally play
really
drums.
Good.
Like, total perfect syncopation, and then you would have this tremor, which is like kind of defied reality in some weird way. It was like you would have a tremor or you wouldn't be able to cook, but then you could go play drums for a rock and roll band that was playing like punk rock and roll and just right on time. And as you could see in the song that we just played, but just like, and now that you've had the surgery, now that you have the device turned on and you're not shaking nearly as much, finding your rhythm is harder for you? Explain that.
I am really noticing that, yes.
Yeah. So, like, is it because you're thinking too much about it, or is it because you
were
used...
That's what my band guys would say, but I think it's mellowed me out,
uh-huh.
the device.
So you think, are you behind when you drum now? Or is that why you say mellow?
I don't know.
No?
I have to relearn, and I want to relearn, and it's only been 4 months, and I'm gonna be right back there.
Yep. Well, you were showing me how to do drums, and I couldn't even do 1, 2, 3. Like, I don't have any tremor. It's just hard. That's really hard. You know, to me, drumming is the hardest thing because you can hear it so well. For one thing, you can't hide it. You can't hide a mistake.
You cannot hide it.
It's not like you can hit the wrong chord and just kind of fumble through it like you can with the guitar. It's out there. You got to recover, not freak out, and then get back in rhythm immediately. That's insane. Anyway, I still want to learn how to do it, but it's just really hard, if you ask me. So you're 4 months in, you're ready, you know you're going to do it. You're going to get on those drums again. You're going to be playing a stage here and there or yonder. If you hear my dog barking, it's because it's trick-or-treat night, and we're not observing right now.
I also you know, I do solo guitar stuff too.
Right, right.
Like singer-songwriter-y things.
Right, right.
I've songs. Got a couple of records out doing that. I really
what
want to get
names?
Back to that.
Yeah. What are the names of those albums? Uh-oh.
One of them's out everywhere. I think it's called Hide Your Eyes.
Hide Your Eyes. And you did one right before your surgery and wrote a song about your dad? Was that the one? What was the name of
that
song?
I didn't put that on your thing.
Okay.
That was, my dad died the end of 2020, not COVID.
Right.
But I wrote a song, You Got No Daddy.
Yeah.
Anymore. I should have brought that one.
It's no big deal.
Well, I brought The Haunting because it's Halloween.
Oh, so that's where we'll finish the show with The Haunting. I think, you know, I wish I could take my feelings and make them songs, you know, a little better like you do. So I admire you for that.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So, you know, going through that and having good bandmates and loving music and being self-sufficient and being, you know, what I feel like independent and hardworking, you have that work ethic because 17 years at WSU, you've always had a job, you've always had 19. A band. I mean, is that how long it took you to graduate? You said?
Oh, no, 17 to graduate. Oh, okay. I worked at WSU.
Oh, you worked there.
Sorry
well.
About that.
I didn't even talk about that. I was trying to, I was like, do I talk about people's work? Sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. You know, it depends on the people. So, anyways, 17 to graduate, 19 working. That's a long time to work there, too. You and you're working right now at the art museum around all that fine art and such, and that's a difficult task anyways because
and numbers.
Yeah, numbers.
Accounting and database numbers. Which, you know, I do mosaics too. But I think I just like putting things in order.
Yeah. Yeah. I do too. I know there's some reward to it. A job well done. Completed. Sometimes finding mistakes in things and fixing them, there's a reward in that. Even if they're your own mistakes, you know, which everyone makes mistakes. So nobody's perfect, even you, whoever's listening to this right now. So I don't know. Let's wrap up with family. And in your family, you said you had your mom pass away when you were younger, but you have a blended family that came later and then continued on until your dad passed away here in 2020, 3 years ago. So, and you have a group of guys that are your bandmates that stayed with you a long time. So what types of advice do you have to someone who's kind of out there struggling a little bit with music or family or things like that? Do you have any kind of sage advice for others listening?
Well, in my own family and life, for one, music, don't give up. I love playing. I know I should, like Wayne told me the other day, I practice 3 hours a day to get better. I was like, oh, I could maybe squeeze 30 minutes. But family, just let them be who they want to be.
Yeah.
And be there for them.
That's your advice on family. That's good advice. That is good advice. And because everyone's different.
And plus, do you want someone judging you? I try not to judge. I just am like, hey,
yep.
How are you doing?
Right. Let's do the positive and not the negative and that kind of thing. It's just better. And it's nice to be able to sit with people who can listen to you when you have a moment low and really know that they're listening and not just judging or trying to give you advice that they should just be listening and telling you they don't know the answer, but they're there, you know? That's really cool. So on Catch a Pocket Podcast, we always ask, it's me in this chair. So I always ask a story of inspiration to my guests. And so, Rhea, do you have a story of inspiration you'd like to share with me and the audience?
I actually do. Johanna, one of my best friends, took me to Seattle, I think in 05, for the Rocker Girl magazine convention.
Mm-hmm.
The magazine was folding, but we went to the banquet. Johnette from Concrete Blonde gave Patti Smith the Woman of Rock Valor Award. And you want to talk about inspiring.
Yeah.
I was just lit on fire. I just want to play music.
Yeah. So what she said just melted you to the core?
Well, Patti, after Johnette did that, I love Concrete Blonde and I love Patti Smith's music. She got up with Lenny Kaye and did a bunch of acoustic songs, like 2-3 tables from me.
Oh my
gosh. Was like, yes, I might fail, I might do good, but this was 05. Mm-hmm. I was thinking at the time, I want to be an older woman doing this forever and ever and ever. And it's 20 years later. And I still feel the same way.
Awesome. That's a great story. That is really inspiring. And I'm glad that you were able to be in that place at that time because it seems magical in a way. You know?
It was great.
Yeah. So I'm really at the end of our interview. So if you have any other things you'd like to say, like do you have a gig that you're like, do you have a date that you're, like, shooting for? Do you have a...
Actually, I wish we were ready. We've been hit up for lots of gigs.
Mm-hmm.
And False Flag. And,
ICT.
ICT.
Fuckers.
Fuckers. And for the open mic, I've been trying to practice solo. I want to get even just for open mic, 3 songs. Yeah. I'm ready to do it, I think.
Okay. So
I think Meat Fest for False Flag.
Okay.
And of course I'm going to fuck up. But that's the great thing about punk rock or rock and roll. You recover. You say, oh shit, I fucked up. Hey, let's rock.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck it. Let's go. Yeah, exactly. So... open mic night at Kirby's is what night of the week? Monday night, and it's like the second week of the month, or is it?
I think it's every Monday now.
Every Monday now, wow. So, if you get a chance, go support people doing their open mic, because it's really important. That's where the best people start, and that's where
it's
the best
people... It's a lot of talent.
Yeah. And Kirby's has a lot of people that kind of get drawn there that are really talented, really smart, and... really inspirational. So that's kind of where my podcast originated. Is my heart was somewhere where I saw all these talented people that got no recognition, and I wanted to recognize them for it. And so today I'm recognizing you, Rhea, and I appreciate your time and being able to come on Halloween and kind of show off your band. And thanks for catching a pocket with me today.
It was a blast, Lori. And I've been going to Kirby's for 25 years. I'll be going that
almost
much 30. Longer.
Almost. Yeah. Yep. All right. So we'll see you on Wednesday at Kirby's for Doom and Gloom.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Rhea, for being a guest tonight. And thank you guys for listening. And since you made it to the end, your prize is Rhea's song, The Haunting. Very cool. We recorded this on Halloween night, and this is the perfect ending to a great interview. It's nice to be back. Love you guys. Catch me on Facebook, Instagram. Leave me a note. I love it. Any ideas are welcome. Have a great night. Thanks for catching a pocket with me. Good night.
Are set.